Hello and welcome to Sports Tech Live, the official Hype Sports Innovation podcast, providing all the must-know info on every aspect of the sports tech industry. Today's episode features Professor Sasha Schmidt, professor and director at the Center for Sports and Management at WHU, senior lecturer at MIT, and associate professor at the Laboratory for Innovation Science at Harvard University. Sometimes you know a man's pedigree from his title. This is one of those times. Stay tuned for a jam-packed episode.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another podcast of Hype Sports Innovation. We have a great session today with Professor Sasha Schmidt. Hi, Sasha.
Hey, I'm here. Good to see you.
Good to have you here. I'm following you for a few years. I'm really happy you made it over today. And I'm sure this session today will be quite insightful about the future of sports and the great leadership you and your team are doing in Germany and around the world. Just to allow people to understand your background a little bit, Professor Sasha Schmidt is a professor of sports and management at WHU, Otto Beisheim School of Management in Düsseldorf, Germany. And you are affiliate of the Laboratory for Innovation Science at Harvard, as well as senior lecturer at MIT Sport Entrepreneurship Bootcamps. You work also as director of the WHU Center of Sports and Management and academic director of the Sports Business Academy by WHU.
Woo! Wow.
That's what happens when you become a professor. Your title is getting longer and longer.
I'm sorry for that, Amir.
All good. Now, before we started, you mentioned something that, we had a little chat and you shared something about the Fans League in the U.S. Can you elaborate, maybe share with everybody, what is the Fans League in the U.S. How does this relate to the future of sports?
Yeah, so what we see and what we foresee in the future is that fans don't only want to listen and watch a game, but they want to truly participate in the game. So that means it's not about passive consumption.
Yeah.
It's not about passive consumption, but it's really to become an active part of the game. And what's amazing is to see is that you already a football league, an American football league, exists in the U.S. It's called the fan-controlled football league, and so the fans are really participating and controlling the game, and so this is already a piece of the future that we see today.
Yeah. And I think this relates. I saw a video by Nas Daily recently announcing his investment in community economy. I think this is also maybe relates to this in a wider context, the community economy around this. And so you're saying that in the future, more and more fans will be looking to be actively engaged and also get maybe some of the revenue. This is like a fantasy football, but in real life,
you can call it that, like this. So fans are really, they jointly decide about transfers, they jointly decide about who is the next coach and how the logo looks like and so on. So it's not the management, but it's kind of the community of the fans that is doing the main decisions for the club.
Interesting. I'm trying to imagine whether this will become the Champions League final once, where the crowd can decide and lead a team to the champions.
It's a new experience, and I think many people that hear that might be, oh wow, but the management should be in charge and should be also should be able to make better decisions, but here it's also about crowd intelligence, And so the key for everything is technology. So it's only through technology it's possible that people can participate in a sensible manner.
How is this related directly to technology?
So what we see at the Fan Controlled Football League is all based on the blockchain technology. Via an NFT, you get a voting right. And this is how you can also control that you have one vote by one fan. And this is truly something without the blockchain wouldn't be possible.
Interesting that you brought blockchain. I had a conversation last week with an investor, investing in early startups, and he was, giving me his very clear 5 points why, blockchain, NFT, Web3 is going very, very little to impact anything we do in the future. And I know you probably hold a different opinion. Most of our, listeners, viewers are leading people in the sports industry. And again, some of them may ask themselves, is this really something that is going to stay here? Is it, what are the main characteristics, the features that really blockchain is bringing that will not happen without it? Maybe, you can do a little bit of organized our thoughts on that.
Yeah. Yeah, so currently there's this big debate about NFTs, and if NFTs truly create value, and if they are just a hype, or if they are they came to stay, and but blockchain technology is the enabler behind it, and in my opinion, the blockchain technology will also revolutionize the sports business. So take, for example, a club, a sports club, a football club, a soccer club. There are many transactions around players, club representatives, and agents. And so far, this is all done by someone called someone else. You send an email, you send a fax, and so on. But with blockchain technology, you will have smart contracts. And so you will always know who is really owning the right to represent a player. And you can even steer performance-based payments via the blockchain. And this is so superior to everything what we see today. So I think that this is not an opinion, it's just a fact that this
will come. All right, I get it. So I agree on contracts with players and all this. There are a lot of, I would say, the gray areas there. And we all remember the times where this was used to sign on a paper napkin in the coffee shop. And then, let's claim it. And so this will create some kind of transparency with regards to agents and maybe organize this industry in another way. But where else you're saying blockchain will impact the future of sports? Apart from contracts, by the way, it's not only for players. It's good for actors. It's good for any kind of talent that you can use it. It's not only for sports, I guess. But where else in sports do you see the impact of blockchain?
Blockchain is the basis for the metaverse we are all talking about. And the big difference towards earlier 3D worlds like Second Life is that via blockchain, you are able to transfer assets, yeah? And you are able to issue currencies. And this makes it now an ecosystem, and it's not just kind of for entertainment purposes. So it's becoming true business. And so this goes back to the blockchain technology. And I think this, you don't need to believe in it, it's just a fact that now we have a 3D ecosystem and we are at the very, very early beginning of it. But this will change our world dramatically.
So just to understand you, what you're saying is that if we had in the past Second Life, which was running on Web 2.0, the 3.0 new environment on blockchain will enable us to create an economic community around it and to trade and to have commercial activities and a lot of additional services which will be able to be transparent and measured and monitored through the blockchain.
I couldn't have it said, I couldn't have used better words. All right. Amir. Good.
So I'm working on my listening skills. Something I need to work on. Sasha, tell us a little bit about you. How did you get to where you are now? You were not born a professor, I guess.
Yes, exactly. So I didn't stay my entire life in academia. I had a life before. I worked many years in strategy consulting with McKinsey and Company, and also worked as an entrepreneur, building my own business.
I didn't know that.
Getting my hands dirty and also experiencing how difficult it is to build something up, but also how much fun it is.
Wow. So you had the entrepreneurial business, you had the McKinsey corporate activity and the academia. I do remember once when I came to Cologne the first time, I think, with my partner, Bernd Waller, back then, who was the CMO before the CMO of Adidas. And somebody introduced me to you, and I had a call from you, and he said to me, "Ooh, I know Sasha, he's very smart. Be nice." So your reputation was there already. Great. So bringing all this, background, you went on and now wrote a book about the future of sports. I know you also have a course with MIT, which is very practical, and I want to touch it in a minute. But the book. Tell us a little bit about the book and why should we read it? What value is it for? I would say sport properties for fans, for startups in the sports space.
Yeah. So the book is called 21st Century Sports: How Technologies Will Change Sports in the Digital Age, and it gives an outlook on the future and how the future of sports is impacted by various technologies. And so the idea was to build something first that is giving an outlook. It's looking forward, not backwards, not at the now and here. And secondly, something that really helps you navigating the technology landscape, because it's quite complicated. You have so many buzzwords are walking around, and you always hear about AI, robotics, Internet of Things, blockchain, and so on. But Amir, who really understands that stuff? We can all use the buzzwords. And so I'm not an engineer myself. So I really wanted to ask people who know technology by heart, from MIT, from Cambridge, from Harvard, and ask them, so how does our future look like? And and how these emerging technologies are impacting all of us.
Did you have part? I want to read the book, but as a ADHD myself, I usually prefer to listen. So I'm inviting you to consider to add an audio version as well to this book. I think it will probably get more people to be able to expose to it. But did you have the chance to interview some sport properties as well and bring their opinion into that? Or it's in the second edition, as I hear you doing?
It's a mix. So I was not only talking to academics, but also to practitioners with a deep understanding. But the kind of the first edition was I would say more weighted on academics. And we are now working on a second edition where we include also more the practice view and also guys, for instance, from Hype Foundation, who organize and fertilize an ecosystem to give their view on the future and how this ecosystem will develop.
Yeah, I think
so. That means you are also writing a chapter.
Yeah.
You promised.
will be a pleasure. I'm not sure we can add anything smart to what you said there, but we'll do our best. I would like to stress the following. I think what you're touching is very important in terms of, you know, I see our role at Hype Sports Innovation is to help sport properties imagine and then realize what can be done in the future of sports. Imagine what can be done and then realize, implement, and really do the actions. And put together and use and try those future technologies to enhance the experience of sports. And I think what you're saying is very true. We are starting to see now people more have the freedom now, and you can say this is because of the COVID and because of now Web3, people are more open. You know, I remember 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I tried to approach the brands. They were very close. The sport brands, the clubs, federations were not open. You know, things were good. You know, we are Real Madrid. We are the Chelseas of the world. Everything is good. Money's pouring in. I'm, you know, 5-6 years ago. Why should we change anything? If it's not broken, why fix it? Yeah. Now, with the Web3, after COVID, we see more and more openness. I would say generous listening. And also, I would say some of the clubs and federations have the intention and the orientation to really take leadership and use technology to take them to the next level, looking at, you know, a few years, not just 2 years from now, 5 years from now, yeah, as you said. But the difficult part here, I think people are starting to imagine. And for this, you're right, they need to read and they need to see the technology and understand more to enable them to imagine more, yeah? But also the challenge is now going to the realization and the implementation of technologies. And I'm wondering what's your thoughts on that, because your book can help a lot with imagining. What about the actualization, where with the manifestation of this in real life?
Yeah, you described that the future is bright in a way that there are so many options out there, also driven by technology. So established brands, they can. So what should they do with NFTs now? Yeah, what should they do with Web3? Yeah, so what role do they want to play in the metaverse? So there is an enormous amount of options of future opportunities that you have to deal with. And so I think from a brand perspective, but also from an investor perspective, it's for me, structure is key. So I don't believe in the lucky punch. So I'll do an investment and so I need timing and the lucky punch to be successful. I truly believe in structure. And this is what we also contributed with the book, that we started with, okay, if you look at technologies, what are the three main categories of technology? And this is a very simple, but also quite difficult question. Yeah. So if you divide just three categories, and so we came up with physical technologies, information processing technologies, and human interaction technologies. And you should be able to put every technology somehow in one of these categories. And then if you, this is one axis, and the other one is, okay, who is the user of this technology? And it's very different if you have an athlete, if you have a fan, or if you have a manager. So they all look at the same technology, but they use it in a very different way. And I think with this kind of structure or navigation system, it becomes easier to navigate this complex landscape of technologies.
I like the three topics, the three categories. I'm trying to represent here also the sport properties, which I speak to quite often. Is there any, you know, and also from your McKenzie hat, if you are sitting now in a club, in a top club in Europe, in the US team, and you need to look at planning your future in terms of technology, what will be just the first few steps you would do? Let's say you have a small team of digital director, digital manager, and you're the innovation lead or the VP for innovation, let's say. Mm-hmm. What will be the first few steps you would do, you know, after reading the book, of course?
Of course. So this will keep you busy for some time. But then afterwards, I would first look at, okay, so what technologies out there are relevant for us? And to be very conscious about, okay, so what is really affecting our core business today? What is might affect our core business tomorrow? What are a kind of wait and see technologies that you say, okay, we will take an eye on that and look and see how others are fail or succeed. But then there's also the category where you just say, no, we are not doing this. We are not doing this now, because you can't, as a club, you don't have unlimited resources. So you also need to focus the scarce resources that you have on conscious areas. And this should be conscious decisions. And this is what I can see as an observer, that many clubs are more opportunistic than strategic about using technologies.
So you mentioned, for me, you mentioned one topic. You said, if I'm a brand, if I'm a sport club or a team, the first thing I would do is look at the categories which I would like to focus on, which I would like to maybe just put an eye and see where is it going, and which I think it's not for me.
Yeah.
So let's say I've done this analysis. Mm-hmm. I have now the list of 3, 4, 5 technologies I want to focus on, and I'm putting together a strategic plan, or I have a strategic view. What is the second stage after segmentizing the companies, the segments I want to focus on? Mm-hmm.
Then in the second step, I would look at, okay, for a particular technology, where can I improve my current business and current processes? And where do I generate new business? So it's about one kind of improving the base versus develop new business. And this with the, for instance, we talked about blockchain technology. So you can look at, okay, what processes, what transactions can you digitize using blockchain technology, for instance? And at the same, and at the other hand, you look at, okay, so what are new business opportunities coming through blockchain technology? And as a club, you need to develop skills in both areas, but also see where synergies are. And this is why I said before, focus is important, because you can't do it with all the technologies out there, but you should rather decide, okay, where is the biggest value potential for me?
Okay. So that's the second stage. After identifying the first stage, the segments I want to focusing on and the one that I leave aside, mm-hmm. then I want to see where I can improve or generate new channels of revenue, and what are the... where I can really make the most impact, and what are the steps I need to do internally, I believe, to have the skills to do that.
Exactly.
Yeah, like I would add resources, add people internally that will be able to lead those topics forward. Okay, so that's the second one. Third one?
And then you need to do it. You need to act. And that's another thing, as an academic, you don't need to do the third step. You can then say and comment, okay, why it didn't work or why it worked. So the devil is in the detail, as always. But this is also a top management thing. And I think that's truly important to put technology on the agenda of key executives. And don't delegate it back to any technical area or the IT department.
How many clubs do you think in the world, in percentage-wise, are working in this type of structure now? They have this structure in place. as you mentioned, percentage wise?
I would say less than 20%.
I would say less than 5%.
Less than 5%? That's a bold statement. Yes.
I didn't say in Germany, yeah, Sasha. Uh-huh.
Okay.
In Germany, maybe 20%.
But it's interesting. So we did a study, a future study with FIFA, and we were looking now at more than 200 countries and national associations. And we were asking the technical directors of each country. And there you have very, very different development stages of the countries. And we were also looking at openness for innovation. And we were expecting that the kind of the incumbent nations that are quite advanced will be more open for technical innovation because they are used to work with it. But it also turned out that the smaller, less developed countries were very open to technology and see that there is potential also to step change their own business or their own performance.
Yeah, I fully with you on this. I believe, you know, just going back to what we said about tangible and realizing what we can imagine. You know, back in the days, I think like 15 years ago, I had an idea to do automation of a course which will work with entrepreneurs around the world. Mm-hmm. So I recorded it and I made, you know, about, I don't know, 15 classes, but it didn't go very far. Maybe it was too early. I was not that good. But I hear that now you've created a course, a practical course with MIT, which will work, help, is it for sport properties? Is it for brands? To really learn the ins and outs of sports tech, or maybe you can help me define it better. And why do we need this course, basically?
So the idea is similar to the idea of the book. So we wanted to create a tech for the non-tech course. So that means it is especially for managers who know that technology is important and relevant, but didn't have the chance to really get a good overview. And as said before, so we are all using the buzzwords, but we should also have at least a basic understanding of what AI means and how it impacts your industry and your particular club. So it is to a very broad audience. And what's special is that we use sports or the power of sports to explain technology. And because technology itself or per se could be also a kind of a dry topic, yeah, so or a very technical topic. But with sports, if you provide sports examples, you also emotionalize this content. And I think it's more fun if you understand how AI works. If you look at a football club and their scouting department, and this kind of is kind of emotionalizing yourself, and is also contributing to the learning process.
You know, I'm very practical. I like tangible elements. Now, let's say I go through the course. I'm doing it. How many sessions?
This is a 20-hour course, and so it's a true online course. So you can, it's self-paced. You can do it whenever you want to do.
All right. And each session is how long?
So that's there's no video that is longer than 7 to 10 minutes.
Okay.
And so after each video, there's a format change, and then you do assignments, you do mini cases, you get tasks, you have peer reviews. And okay. So on.
Now, if let's say I've finished the course, yeah, or I'm Golden State Warriors innovation lead, what would I get? What the tangible skills tools I will get out of this?
Yeah, so it's a 20-hour course. So what you get is you have a better understanding of how AI, robotics, Internet of Things, data analytics, metaverse, Web3, how all of these technologies impact your business and your situation. So for us, it is very important that you always do the transfer in your own context, because it's the same thing. If you're only passively consuming a course, that doesn't last. But if you are like after 7 minutes, you are forced to apply it to your own context, then it really hooks. And then
so you
it
have
really
like assignments for me to implement to practice what you're saying there. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it's for you in your individual context, in your industry, in your club, in your department, in your situation.
Yeah. Good. I think in terms of timing, we have little time left, but I want to ask you this. Of course, the book name is the 21st Century Sport, and I know you've put your I would say also viewpoint and analysis and I would say futuristic ideas about how the sports will look like in 3, 5, maybe 10 years from now. Can you share a couple of points which you think will be utterly different? You know, we are now in 2022. Let's say you and I are having this conversation is in 2030, 8 years from now, or let's say 10 years from now. What will be different in sports? You know, tangible ideas.
Number one, participation is getting bigger. So I talked about the fan controlled football league. They did it in football. They now apply doing it in basketball as well. So I think fan participation will increase, and this is kind of partly driven by technology. So that's number one. Then number two, I think that clubs and brands will be more diversified, and this also due to technology. Because what you see is as a sports club, you're usually the core is your team in the sports. Yeah, you are a soccer club, and so the soccer team is the most important thing. But if you have seen examples like Schalke 04, how they successfully diversified into esports.
Yeah.
And that you create new businesses that give you more independence.
Schalke 04 in the Bundesliga, yeah.
Exactly.
And they're, very impactful activity in esports, yeah.
Okay. Exactly. And this doesn't, this independent of your core business in football. Yeah. There are not many synergies, but I think we will see that more and more in the future. And in 10 years from now, we will see more diversified clubs.
Okay, so diversifying, and you mentioned the fact that there will be more participation. What is the impact of Web3 from, you know, just give us a glance. How does, you know, would I be able to put my glasses and jump from a Camp Nou to you know, one of the, one of the Mile High Stadium in Colorado, and watch some games there. How do you see the Web3 impact?
Yeah, for me, Web3 will lead to an even faster convergence of different worlds. So for me, this is all somehow entertainment. And it's irrespective if that is football, if that is sports, if that is fashion, if that is art, if that is filming. So this, at the end of the day, all are competing for the attention of the consumer or fan. And so with Web3, the worlds are kind of converging as well. And because if I look at the younger generation and I have three boys at home, so they don't care in which category they are consuming content. So it's all one immersive experience, and they don't care if that is sport or music or fashion or so. It must be interesting. And so I think Web3 will lead us to a kind of more unified world of entertainment at the end.
That's a very nice way, I think, to complete and to conclude our session here. Again, you just gave us a glance of, the topics that you are focusing on. And I think this was fascinating. Thank you for this, Sasha. I say always to remind myself that our vision is to impact people's lives through the power of sports and innovation. And I think what we know is that we can do this by help people dream, imagine, and then realize. And I think what you've shared with us today, helps a little bit to take us further to the next level. So thank you again, so much, Professor Sasha Schmidt, all the way from Germany. Thank you very much. And looking forward to continue these conversations with you and learn more.
Yes, would love to. Thanks a lot for the invitation.
And by the way, we'll put in the bio, we'll put the link to the course and to your book in case we got the attention of somebody.
That's very kind of you.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Bye for now.
Was a pleasure. Thanks. Bye-bye.
That's it for today's session. Be sure to check out all our previous and future recordings by following us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, and more by searching for Hype Sports Innovation. Until next time.